Philippians chapter number 3. I really, you know, in considering what I was going to preach tonight, I'm really going to really continue on with what we spoke of this morning. And so go to Philippians chapter 3, because we're going to end up there and that will be our text. But I really want to go back to the text from this morning that we find in 2 Peter chapter number 3. 2 Peter, so two passages, don't mean to confuse you. Philippians chapter 3, we're going to make that our core text tonight. But we also want to start, and I want to look, because both really go together quite well, at 2 Peter chapter number 3 also. We look this morning and we find Paul or Peter here in his epistle, his second epistle to the believers. He gives an example and he gives a warning to those that he was writing to. In 2 Peter chapter 3, we find he says that there are some that will take the scriptures and they are unlearned. They take them and they wrest them, they twist them, they wrestle with them to really twist them to what they want them to mean. And how we ought to simply take the Word of God for as it is and for what it says. And you know, it's not about us, it's not up to us to determine what it means. God is very plain. God is very clear. And He provides for us as believers the Holy Spirit of God to teach us, to guide us into all truth. And we ought to rely upon God's Holy Spirit to teach us the Word of God. Listen, I cannot be the Holy Spirit for you. I cannot be God's Holy Spirit. You must have a walk with God of your own. Indeed, I'm, as your pastor, I'm going to encourage you as a fellow Christian. I'm going to try to bless you. I'm going to try to teach you. But you know what? That's no substitute for having a walk with God yourself. Studying the Word of God yourself. And we find here, Paul says there were some, Peter in 2 Peter 3 verse 16 say there were some who are unlearned and unstable. They're double-minded. They're trying to get the Word of God and trying to twist it to mean what they want it to mean. And they find themselves led away, as it says, unto their own destruction. And it's so sad to see Christians, and I know if you've been saved any time at all, to see Christians who, because they refuse to be obedient to the Word of God, they refuse to obey God as He speaks to them, they themselves headed towards destruction. Destroying their life, destroying the life of their family because they refuse to obey the Word. In verse number 17, Peter says, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware." He says, hey, be careful, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. He says, don't think that you're okay. Don't think that you're immune from making the same mistake. Beware, be careful. The Bible says the devil is as a what? A roaring lion. And he walks about seeking whom he may devour. Michael, have you ever seen a lion? You ever been to the zoo and seen a lion? I have too. And they don't roar all the time, do they? No, in fact, if you go and you see I've watched enough National Geographic to understand a little bit, I guess, of what a lion in its natural habitat does. But that lion is quiet. They have those big feet, but on the bottom of those feet, what do they have? They've got those pads, don't they? And when they're walking around the forest and in the high grasses, you wouldn't even know they're there. And you know, so many times we as Christians, we have in our minds this mental picture that the devil is this guy with the red suit and the horns and that you'll know immediately when he's attacking. No, the devil is as a roaring lion. He walks about. He hunts his prey. And you know who his prey is?
We are.
You. Me. He's looking to destroy you. And Peter here makes this warning and he says to these Christians, he says, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Now that is not speaking of a fall from salvation. I say to you tonight that your position, if you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, done what the Word of God has said is necessary for salvation, your relationship with God is yours. However, we can't always move away from God. Our fellowship with God can be destroyed. if we're not careful. So he says, beware, be careful that you don't get led away, that you don't fall from being faithful to obey the Word of God. And then in verse number 18, he says, but what? We looked at it this morning, but grow in grace. Grow in grace. And we really focused a lot this morning on that word grace. And the need for us to abound in that grace, to receive more of God's grace. Again, grace, very simply defined, is what? God's unmerited favor. How we need more and more of that unmerited favor. We need God's hand upon our lives. We need His help in every aspect of daily living. You know what will happen as you mature as a Christian, as you learn more about what it means to walk with God, you begin to understand just exactly how much you need Him every day. See, the new Christian, they think, well, I need God in some things, but as you mature, what often happens is you often begin to understand, I need Him more than I want. I need Him in every area of my life. I need God. See, as Michael grows as a Christian, he's going to start to understand that when he's at school, guess who he needs help from? God. And Andrew, as he grows up and begins to understand, as he's at home and he's with his siblings and to obey his parents, who do you need, Andrew? You need God. And as Christians, as Anita is at work there at Goodwill, and Robert's there at the transfer station, and wherever you might be, you begin to understand, I need God even here in my workplace. I need Him everywhere. I need Him in my home. I need His grace. I need His unmerited favor in my life. And so we're commanded here by Peter to grow in grace, to abound in grace, to begin. And we saw that this morning, if you go to 1 Peter chapter 5, that the way that we receive more of God's grace is by humbling ourselves.
Right.
You can't have it any other way, folks. See, the Bible says, God not what, Elizabeth? God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. You want to grow in grace? You want more of God's unmerited favor? You need to humble yourself.
Right.
It's the only way to get it. So, I want to look tonight, in just a few minutes we have, at the second part of 2 Peter chapter 3. He commands us to grow in grace, and we're also to grow in what else? In the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are to grow in that knowledge of God. Now, on the face of it, we can take that to mean that we just simply need to know more about Jesus. And I would agree with you. I love that little song, more about Jesus, would I know more of His saving? Now I'm going to get it wrong. But you know what I'm saying? More about Jesus. I want to know more about Him. And yes, it's good to gain more of a head knowledge about the Lord Jesus Christ, to learn about Him. But I think that that knowledge goes beyond just a knowledge up here. And that takes us to our text tonight, Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 10. Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 10. Paul here makes a declaration. Paul says in verse number 9, he talks about his salvation. Paul says of himself, he says, I don't stand before God in my own righteousness. I'm not accepted by God because I'm a good person. He says that, if we read it, verse 9, he says, and be found in Him, who and in who? Christ, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith. Listen to me very carefully tonight. I just want to spend a moment on this. But if you think that you're getting to heaven because of your good works and because of your righteousness, you are mistaken. You are wrong.
That's right.
And unfortunately, if you continue and persist in that thought, when you die, you will spend eternity in hell.
You think you're getting to heaven by being good.
The Bible tells us very clearly, Ephesians 2, 8, 9, for by grace, again, unmerited favor, are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves.
Amen.
It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The Bible tells us in Titus 3, 5, not by works of what? Righteousness, which we have done. But according to His mercy, He saved us. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Listen, I want to just make it very clear tonight that your being a good person doesn't get you any closer to heaven than just an average man on the street. That's what Paul is saying here in Philippians 3, verse 9. He says, I want, when Jesus comes back, when I stand before God, I want to be found in Him. Not having my own righteousness. I don't want to stand before God and God look upon me with my own righteousness, because He says, that's not enough. But that I may be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of what? God, by faith. If you want to get to heaven, you've got to have Christ's righteousness on your account. And that only comes when you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. When you trust in Him to be your Lord and Savior. At that moment, His righteousness, His perfection is placed upon you. And when God looks at you, He doesn't see your goodness. He doesn't see your wickedness. He sees the righteousness of Christ. And as such, you're accepted into the Beloved. Now let's look at verse 10. And then Paul says, number one, I want to be found not having my own righteousness, but the righteousness of God. But I'm equal. Also, number two, I want to be found in, verse 10. He says, that I may what? Know Him. That I may know Him. See, Paul here is speaking much more than just a head knowledge of Jesus. Paul says, I want to know Him. I want to become like Him. Unto Him. I want to become one with Him. It goes much further than just knowing. There's a lot of people that know the Bible. The man next door, Aaron, he knows the Bible, but he's not a Christian. Just because you know the Bible doesn't make you a Christian. Just like knowing what an engine looks like doesn't make you a mechanic. Or knowing what a plane looks like doesn't make you a pilot. Knowing the Bible doesn't make you a Christian. And indeed, there's a lot of people that know the Bible. There's a lot of smart people that know probably more than you do about Jesus. Maybe some of the historical records about Christ when He walked on this earth. But they don't know Him. They don't know Him. They know of Him. They know about Him. But Paul doesn't say that. He says, I don't want to know about Him. I don't know of Him. I want to know Him. I want to get to a relationship with Him.
Wouldn't
it be good to know people? Amen. Wouldn't it be good to get to meet people that you want to meet, and not just to know about them? I like to get to know people. That's what Paul's saying. He says that I may know Him. He says I want to enter into a personal, intimate relationship with Christ. And you see that expanded upon here in verse number 10. Number one, we need to know Christ personally. That goes back to what I was saying. If you're going to get to heaven, you better know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You better know Him personally. It's got to be much more than right here. It's got to be here. Number two, we've got to know Him powerfully. In verse 10, He says that I may know Him and what? The power of His resurrection. Paul says, see, now Paul was a Christian, but he says, I want to know Him better. I want to know Him more intimately. I want to have a greater knowledge and understanding of who He is and what He is and what He stands for and how I can be like Him. But I also want to know His power. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. See, I want to know and I want to experience God's power in my life. The same power that resurrected Jesus from the dead, I want to experience that power in my life also. And see, if you're going to grow in grace, and if you're going to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, you've got to grow in knowing that power. Amen. You say, Pastor, how is that possible? How can you have the power of God? You know, God promises His power to us. Paul says here, he wouldn't have said it. He says, I know I can know the power. I know I can understand. I can experience God's power in my life. Go to Ephesians, if you would. How do you know the power of God? By being filled with the Spirit of God. It goes back to that place of humility. God is not going to empower someone who thinks they can do it themselves. That's a lot of Christians today. We may never say it again, like I said this morning. We may never walk around saying it out loud, well, I can do it. But our heart and our attitude speaks volumes. See, when we face something where we need to see God's power, immediately, sometimes our mind, what does it go to? It goes to how we try to figure it out. We try to figure it out according to our knowledge, according to our ability. When what God wants us to do is simply fall upon Him. Say, God, I can't figure this out. I can't do this. I need to experience your power. And he says here in Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse number 14, he says, "Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be what? Filled with the Spirit." He said, "Well, Pastor, what does having the power of God have to do with being filled with the Spirit?" I'm glad you asked. Let's go to Acts chapter 2, please. Acts chapter 2 in verse number 13. If you're familiar at all with your Bible, you know Acts chapter 2 is the chapter that deals with the day of Pentecost. Here we have 120 disciples of Christ, whom Christ has just resurrected and ascended up into heaven. He's left them here by themselves. Here they are by themselves with a commission from Christ Himself. And what did Christ say to them? Acts 1:8. You know what Acts 1:8 is? "But ye shall receive" what?
Power.
"After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." We don't have a suggestion from Jesus here, do we? Do you find Jesus saying here, "Well, guys, here's humanity, here's the disciples, and here's Christ. You know, listen, guys, I got to go to heaven. If you get around to it, I really want you to be a witness for me. You know, if you could squeeze it in your busy day. I know you're working, you know, I know things, you've got a lot of things going on. You got baseball, you got school, you know. But hey, guys, if you get around to it, if you could just hand out a track every once in a while, that'd be good with me." That's not what he says. He says to these disciples, he says, "You're going to get power from God. You're going to get power from the Holy Spirit. And you're going to go and you're going to be a witness unto me. And you're not going to just do it in Jerusalem where you're at. You're going to do it in Judea, Samaria, and what? Unto the uttermost part of the world." That's what you're going to do. No question, is there? Parents,
when you tell your children what to do, do you make a suggestion to them? When you say to Michael, "Michael, listen, if you get a chance, can you clean your room? It would be really nice, Michael, if you could clean your room. It would be really nice. Thank you. If you feel like it, Michael. But if you want to watch TV, that's okay too. Is that how you tell Michael to clean his room? No. No. Michael, what? Clean your room. Right? Get after it, boy. That's what I do to my children. I don't say to Andrew, you know, if you get a chance, if you could feed the dog, the dog's really hungry, and the dog likes food and water. You can, do I do that, Andrew? No, what do I say?
You say, get the dog fed.
Get the dog fed! Not a question about it. I'm not leaving it up to his discretion. And Jesus didn't say, hey, listen, if you want to go with us, so he says, you shall be witnesses for me. That the only way to successfully be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ and to see change affected in people's lives is by the power of God. And let's go to Acts 2 and verse number 13. Now, if you remember, we're told not to be drunk with wine, whereas the excess will be filled with the Spirit. Notice, when God comes upon these disciples, the world looks at them and says what? These men are full of new wine. It was such an unusual sight. They had never seen anything like this before. And if we were to go through all of Acts chapter 2, in verse number 1, it says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." What happened? These men, these women, God filled them with the Holy Spirit of God. They were under the Spirit's control, and as such, they had the access to God's power. What keeps us from having God's power? What keeps us from being an effective witness? What keeps us from really doing the work of God God wants us to do? It's that we have a lack of being filled with God's Spirit. See, the fact is if you're a Christian tonight,
there's a lot of churches that say you got to get filled with the Spirit. You got to be baptized with the Spirit. The Bible tells us very clearly that when you get saved, you receive the Holy Spirit. There's not a new receiving that you have to go through. There's not a baptism you have to go through.
But the problem is, even though if you're a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you,
it doesn't mean that He controls you. It doesn't mean that He fills you.
And we have the choice as Christians to allow God's Spirit to fill us. To allow God's Spirit to control us, to lead us, to guide us. And we are commanded over and over again to allow God's Spirit to fill you. We go back to the Ephesians chapter 5. What does He say? And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be what?
Filled with the Spirit. You say, Pastor, how can I be filled with the Spirit of God?
Well, number one, you know what you got to do? Is you got to empty yourself. See, the problem, the reason we can't be filled with the Spirit of God is because we're filled with our own selves.
How can God's Spirit fill us when we're all wrapped up in what we want to do?
When we're all about what our desires and will and wants are. You want to have God's power? Paul says, I want to know the power of the resurrection. The only way that is possible, Christian, is by allowing yourself to be filled with the Spirit of God. Emptying yourself of your desires, of your wants, and heeding God's Spirit, coming under His control. The sad testimony, and I'm not going to get all the way through this message tonight, but the sad fact of it is
very few Christians ever come under God's Spirit's control. We control ourselves. We do what we want to do. We act the way we want to act. And all the while, God's Spirit is as a still, small voice speaking to us, saying, no, don't do that. Do this. And what do we do? It's like, you know, the little cartoon where the angel, the devil, and the soldier, you know, was. And in a lot of ways, I mean, that's sort of silly, but what I'm saying is that, you know, God's Spirit is speaking to you. He's in your heart. He's speaking to you. He's telling you what to do. And so many times, we just say, be quiet. I'm going to do what I want to do.
And we operate under our own control. And God says you need to be filled with the Spirit of God. And it begins in the morning. It begins by emptying yourselves. It begins by, you know what?
We are so filled with distractions today. And I'm not against cellular phones. I'm not against computers. I'm not against the radio. But so many times we get so distracted, we have very little time really to heed the Spirit of God.
We have to learn to come under His control if we're going to experience His power.
Amen.
The sad fact of it is that unless we have God's power, there are going to be people who die and go to hell.
Let's just be honest.
There's going to be family members. You say, I love my family, Pastor. I know you do. But unless you get God's power, unless you have the power of God, before you go over there and you spend time with them and you witness to them, you know what? You might as well just go ahead and not go and tell them about the Lord at all if you're not going to have God's power.
Right.
You need Him. You need to come under His control. And we need to experience the power of the resurrection. It's amazing, you know, a lot of Pentecostals will take Acts chapter 2 and say, you know, they spoke in tongues and many of them.
You realize the reason God gave them the power to speak in tongues was not to show how spiritual Peter they were. It was to show what? So that the diverse Jews that were in the city at that time could all hear the gospel. There was a purpose behind those tongues. Now, I don't believe that tongues is valid for today. I believe that time has passed.
The Word of God is complete and there's no longer a need for tongues. But I say, and I guess the point I'm trying to make, is God filled Peter.
God filled John with the power of God, with the Spirit of God. And He enabled them to speak foreign languages that they didn't know, so that others could hear the gospel and be saved. See, he said, Pastor, that can never happen today. I don't know. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same.
You say, Pastor, it's just a different time. It is. You got to remember, these are the same people that just a few weeks before rose up and said, crucify Christ.
Yep.
I didn't talk to that today, didn't they? If Jesus came along, I could see our neighborhoods hit together saying, kill him!
Yep.
I don't see that it's any different. I don't see that God can do a great thing and a miracle in our midst. And He is.
Yes.
We ought to desire to see more.
Amen.
Say, God, use me. Hey, wouldn't it be great to see, I know Rose gave that testimony. What a blessing to see family come to know Christ.
Hey.
31 years has been a long time to see people come to know Jesus. And I'm glad that's happening. But wouldn't it be great to see all your family come to the Lord?
Amen.
And certainly they have a choice to make. They can reject Christ. But may it not be because we don't have God's power. We need to come under the Spirit's control. Be filled with the Spirit of God. Let Him direct every action. Let Him direct your attitude. And then let's see what God has in store. Let's see what God wants to do. See, these people in Acts chapter 2, God said, stay up there and pray until you get God's Spirit. And they prayed and they prayed. For 10 days they prayed straight. And when God's Spirit came upon them, God did miraculous things. That's my God. And that's the power Paul is speaking of. He says, I want to know Jesus. And I want to know His power. The same power that raised Him from the dead. I want to know that power. I want to see it in my life. God wants to do that. This thing that happened in Acts chapter 2, in which 3,000 people got saved. You say, oh, it's impossible, Pastor. No, it's not. Hey, if that's impossible, and if God can't work like He did in the past, let's quit and go home right now.
That's right.
I'm not thinking that way. I'm thinking that, you know what? God could do something like that this summer.
That's right.
We could see tens and hundreds and maybe even thousands come to know Christ. You say, Pastor, you're off the... Woo! You're crazy, Pastor! You know why we don't see that? It's because we don't have God's power.
That's right.
Let's just call it like it is. You know why I don't see that as a pastor? Because I don't have His power. You say, what do you mean? You know why you don't see it as a Christian? Why the people at your workplace won't get saved many times? Why your family members won't get saved? It's because you refuse to be filled with the Spirit of God and operate under His control.
That's right.
So that His power can be manifested.
Yeah.
We've got to know Christ. It's not easy either. It's not going to happen tomorrow. It takes time. You know why it takes time? It's because we're so stubborn. We're so hard-hearted sometimes. We got to root out a lot of the things that we've allowed in our lives.
That's right. That's right.
There can't be, listen, if you're going to have God's power, and I'm done, there can't be any sacred power. I don't care if God says get rid of it or deal with it, God will deal with it or get rid of it.
That's right.
Because there's nothing more important than being used by Him.
Amen.
Do you know Christ? What is your walk with Him like right now? Are you spending time in His Word? Are you spending time in prayer every day? Are you getting to know Him better? Are you experiencing His power? He said, Pastor, I'm not. In fact, when I go on a witness, it seems like it's like I'm pulling teeth. It seems like it's just like I'm banging my head against the wall. God can knock those walls down. But He's waiting on us to get serious. And to come under His Spirit's control. And be filled with that Spirit. What? I just hope there's some folks tonight who say, Pastor, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to have God's power. I'm willing to get rid of anything in my life that needs to be get rid of to have God's power. I don't care what it is, I'm serious. I want to know Him, and I want to know His power. With every head bowed and every eye closed,